as the first thing, roll call, and then we agreed that we would include an item on the elections results. So can we start with that, R. Paul?
Okay, and get to that. Okay, as I call your name, say you're here. Grace Aaron.
Here.
David Edelson.
Here.
Mary Berg. Max Blanchet. Lydia Brazon. Marty Derlin. Jane Gatewood.
Here.
Okay. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Mike Martin. R. Paul Martin. Here. Sarv Randhawa. Sandra Rawline.
Here.
Serene Roberts. Rob Robinson.
Here.
Deb Shafto.
Here.
Akam Takash. That seems to be eight. Somebody dropped off for a second.
Marty?
Yeah, Marty Derlin.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Okay, that's fine.
I'm sorry. I star sixed wrong or something.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, we have nine. We have a quorum.
Okay. Could you let us know the results of the election, R. Paul?
Yes. The election results were for chair, Dave Edelson, 6 votes. And Dave Edelson was the only candidate, so Dave Edelson is elected. For secretary, R. Paul Martin, that's me, 6 votes. I was the only person running, so Dave Edelson and I are elected.
Okay, great. The next
congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Ah, yes, it was a tough fight, but...
So the next thing is the approval of the agenda, and what I've suggested is that we spend 10 minutes on approval of minutes, 10 minutes on how we're going to address the issues before us, specifically the issue of minority reports and the question of informal consideration to allow us to hammer out some consensus language before we get into the parliamentary process. The two substantive issues on the agenda are motions relating to suspensions and motions relating to code of conduct, which are obviously intertwined. This meeting was called for the particular purpose of addressing motions relating to suspensions and particularly to the DiRienzo suspension at WBAI. And then I had adjournment at 7:30, but if we... and we need to decide whether we want to extend till 8 p.m. since we've taken half an hour to get started. So that was the proposed agenda. Are there suggestions, amendments, or a motion to accept the agenda?
I'll make a motion to accept it. This is Sandra in Houston.
Did somebody just come in?
This is Lydia.
Okay.
I move to adopt the agenda.
Okay, so we have two people moving to adopt, which we'll take as a motion in a second. Any amendments, any issues with it?
Oh, God, I'm doing two things at once. Pardon me. Okay. Yours says 7:30, so we should probably want to amend that to be,
Only if people want to go till 8. Do they want to go till 8?
Which is 11 o'clock Eastern time.
No.
I think we should try and do it by 7:30. We'll have a motion to extend at that point if we're real close. But let's try and get it done by 7:30 Pacific.
Serene returning.
Hi, Serene. So is there any other discussion on it? We could get ahead of ourselves if not.
Who was it who said approve the agenda? Who made the motion?
Sandra did, and then Marty agreed with that.
Okay, thank you.
Hello?
Hi. Okay, well, here, if there's no further discussion, then is there any objection to adopting this agenda? Hearing none, it's adopted. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes. I sent, R. Paul had posted them to the Yahoo group, and I sent them around today. are there any additions? First of all, is there a motion to accept them?
This is Jane. I so move.
Okay. Is there any amendments to them needed? All right. By the way, is there a second to the motion to accept them? Approve them, excuse me.
So is this for, we should name?
Let's do them one at a time. You're right. Okay, first, can we have a motion to approve March 17th?
Yeah.
Okay, Jane moves. Any second? Don't all yell out at once now. Can we have
Bob,
a second?
Second?
Okay, Bob seconds. Any discussion? Okay, yeah, any objection? Okay, they're adopted without objection. March 24th. Is there a motion to accept?
So moved.
Okay, a second?
Second.
Okay, and any objections? R. Paul's such a good secretary. Okay.
24th.
The 24th have been adopted without objection.
Okay. Understand we also have we have one or two from last year, don't we?
Yeah, I don't want to deal with those right now because this is a special meeting to get things moving. Those minutes contained within them things that were relevant to what we're talking about. A lot of members on the committee this year weren't on last year, and speaking for myself, I'd like to delay that until our regular meeting.
Okay. Who made the motion to accept the minutes there?
I think I did, Deb Shasta.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
Dave, it's Bob Lederer. Forgive me, I neglected one thing on the minutes we just approved. I'm wondering if we could reconsider it for 1 minute because I wanted to add the text of the motion that that I made that's listed here.
Wait, which is, this is the 24th?
Let's see, March 17th?
March 17th.
Well, okay, then shall we rescind the approval?
No, you can make a motion to reconsider.
Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Under new business code of conduct, it says Bob Lederer has sent a motion on this topic to the committee's mailing list. And so my amendment would just be to insert the actual text just as the other motions that were discussed that night were inserted in the text of the minutes.
So I'll second that.
Okay, I'm looking here. Wait a minute. Okay, Bob Lederer has sent a motion on this topic to the mailing list. Okay, we didn't vote on it that day.
Right, we didn't vote on these other motions either.
Which motions?
Dave Adelson's, about procedure for suspensions and so forth.
Yeah, that was made as a motion. Looking in here, that was...
The way R. Paul does it, he puts the results of the motion up with the motion, not down at the bottom.
I mean, I have the Edelson motion as a motion.
Bob, would you be willing to do the reconsideration of this at the next meeting, so when we've got all our ducks in a row on it?
Well, I don't think there's any more ducks that need to be in a row. I mean, the motion that we passed was to send all of the proposed motions to the working group. So I'm just saying that the motions that have been proposed should be in the minutes, so it's clear which motions were being sent, rather than referring people to a Yahoo group to look it up.
But that motion did not come up at that meeting, right?
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
Okay, which?
I read it word for word.
I remember that.
Okay, which? This is the 17th.
Right.
Okay, and... All right, what?
So we just insert where it says Bob Lederer has sent a motion on this topic to the committee's mailing list, and then we'll just add as follows, colon, and then the text of my motion.
Again, if it's a motion, let's see. What is it? Damn it. Where does it start there? I mean, I got to find.
New business.
Under new business, and then the next heading is code of conduct.
Code of conduct. I have Max Blanchet suggests we handle this at the next meeting. Bob Lederer has sent a motion. Then a motion by Mary Berg.
Nice. Yeah.
Then people coming and going. And then the next thing we have is a policy regarding suspensions by
right.
Edelson.
I'm saying that Mary Berg's motion that we form a working group on policies, et cetera,
right.
was based on the fact that I had just thrown something new into the pot, and so the discussion was, well, let's send that and older proposals to this working group.
But
are we
that,
a working group?
Yeah, but, okay, and it says Bob Lederer has sent a motion on this, but the thing is that motion did not come up at that meeting. Mary Berg's motion is there in that piece of business.
Well, that's my amendment. I want it added into the minutes.
You want your...
Because otherwise it's an incomplete record of what's being talked about.
Well, but if there were other motions, I mean, that, then we would, to be complete in that case, we would need to have
water.
Whatever else was sent, right?
Serene, point of order.
Yeah, go ahead, Serene.
Instead of the back and forth, Bob has made a motion. I think it's been seconded. I'd like us to just vote.
Well, okay. Is it then if we're...
It just as a...
We'll do it for
Wait, Mark Paul, if I can. My understanding of committee process is that you do not go to a vote as long as there remains discussion. Is that correct? Or until the time is up for the
That's
item.
That's correct.
Okay, so formally we have 8 more minutes in this item, but you know what I would really rather do is not do it by that process, but get our Paul and Bob together, have them come to agreement, and come with the motion ready at the next meeting. I don't think it affects what we need to do next. So would that be acceptable?
Can I get on the stacks?
Go ahead.
Okay, we're in a situation here where we just passed without objection March 17th minutes, and... Now, I guess it's a motion to reconsider.
Right. And we're impaled on the horns of
Well, we got to do it one way or another. We could see. Can we table a motion to? Well, yeah, we can table a motion to reconsider.
Okay, Serene.
It seems to me that if every motion that we discussed with regard to this was referred to the working group, then we simply insert the text of the motion so there's a very clear and simple and easy-to-access record of what the working group is supposed to do. So I'm at a loss at why we're still talking about this, 4 or 5 minutes later?
Me too.
I can't see why anyone would object to just inserting it, and let's move on.
Well, because it's been said we've got several motions, and somebody's setting put one of them.
Okay, well, why don't, since that is the motion, we can do that. And if somebody would like to move to reconsider to add the text of the others at a later date, then we can. Or you can amend his motion, Arpal, to say that all the text of all such motions will be included.
Dave, it's Bob. Can I speak?
Go ahead.
Actually, now that I remember it, I don't think the other things were in the form of a motion.
For instance, no.
There was Dan Coughlin's proposal, which, of course, he's not a voting member of the board, so he was just offering it for consideration by the board. And I'd be happy to add that into this text, too, as well. But to my knowledge, mine was the only one that was actually in the form of a motion.
That's something you posted, though. It didn't be, okay, so you want to put that in. And see, part of my problem here is that wasn't an actual motion, and it would have to have some sort of statement on it that it was not presented as a motion at that meeting.
It was presented as a motion. What do you mean
it wasn't
presented as a motion?
No, Mary Berg made the motion. The notation in the minutes is that Bob Lederer sent something around.
The notation is incorrect.
He sent a motion.
Well, we can always all decide we're going to go back to the audio and listen to all of that, I suppose. If everybody wants to do that, we can certainly do that.
Dave, may I?
Please, go ahead.
I'm pretty sure I remember what I said. I said, I have written a motion, I've sent it around to everyone today, and I would like to offer it at the appropriate time. And I was waiting to see what the conversation would be if people wanted to get into debating it that night. And then quickly, the tone of the conversation, which I agreed with, was it's a little premature because there are some different ideas floating around. We're not going to have time to really get to it. So I, in the interest of moving things along, I didn't offer it formally and say, I move that we adopt this tonight. So I think it's being technical and you know, not serving the interests of clarifying the record to say I sent a motion around and not actually say what the motion was. I don't see any reason. It's not there just as a point of reference.
Well, okay, so you and I guess maybe other people will agree that then it didn't come up as a motion per se.
I didn't offer it that night
right.
for consideration
right.
that night. Right.
So if we put something in, it's going to have to say, have a statement that this is not a motion that was presented during the meeting.
Was not presented for action. It was read.
Right. And it was distributed.
The committee gets to decide how it wants to do this. What do people want to do?
Point of information. Are we having fun yet?
Think we should just insert it and record it as it actually happened. That it was that the motion was distributed for eventual action. It was not moved on that particular meeting. Period.
Great idea.
Insert that.
Fine with me.
I would like to second that if that's a motion.
Okay. How are we going to handle this then? Since we have a motion to reconsider then.
Well, actually, the motion to reconsider was never seconded. So, can we have a motion to reconsider?
It was seconded. Didn't you second it?
Yeah.
Oh, good point. Good point. I did. Okay. Sorry. So that's the only motion on the floor. So we have a motion to reconsider.
Yeah.
So we have to do that and then amend the minutes, correct?
Right.
Okay. So all those in favor of reconsidering? Excuse me. Is there any objection? Okay, no objection to reconsidering. Lydia, would you make your motion to amend?
Yes, I amend that we inserted in the record as a motion that was not, where action was not taken at that particular meeting, but it was distributed to the body.
And would you like the text of other proposals that were submitted to the committee included as well?
Yes, if there were some at that meeting.
Okay. In that case, is there
if there were any, and if they are known at this time, they can. Otherwise, they can be added later.
Okay. Now, with respect to approval, we don't approve minutes that we haven't seen yet. So you're asking that be done, and then I presume we'd approve the corrected minutes at the next meeting.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the motion.
All right, let's...
Jane, did you second that?
Well...
Yes, I do.
I'd like to read it, I have so far.
Okay.
Insert Bob Lederer's motion in the record as a motion that was not presented during the meeting. That's what
presented
I have.
For action.
It was presented, it was not moved.
No, I said it was distributed.
It was presented but not moved.
Yes.
Presented but not moved. Insert Bob Lederer's motion in the record as a motion that was presented but not during the meeting.
No, it was distributed. It was presented and distributed to the body.
So it's presented and distributed.
Right.
Insert Bob Lederer's motion in the record as a motion that was presented and distributed but not moved during the meeting. Now, there was something about other motions?
Well, the only other one I'm aware of, which people can add to if they know of others, is Dan Coughlin. So you could add part two of the motion, being also insert Dan Coughlin's draft, proposed draft code of conduct into the minutes.
Well, what my actual wording was, any other motions or statements that were, any other proposals at that meeting, presented at that meeting.
Okay, so after
they can be inserted.
Since you're to make her the motion, after insert Bob Letterer's motion in the record as a motion, it was presented and distributed but not moved during the meeting. The rest of the motion is.
Other proposals that were presented at the same meeting may be added at today's meeting or subsequently. Because I just don't want to sit here just trying to decide what else might have been proposed.
Other proposals that were presented at the meeting I'm not catching the rest.
It may be inserted today or subsequently. Or after today, in other words. However you would like to read
it. We're coming up on time for this agenda, so can you reread it, Paul?
I have. Insert Bob Letterer's motion in the record as a motion that was presented and distributed but not moved during the meeting. Other proposals that were presented at the meeting may be inserted today or subsequently. Mechanism would have to be then that we...
Well, the mechanism is that you would add them as... appropriate, and we would consider the amended minutes at the next meeting.
Okay,
anyone who has them can just email them to R. Paul. And
right. Is there any objection to the motion that R.
Well,
Paul...
Well, if they were presented, then we
yes,
already
have
them.
Yes, if they were presented that night.
Okay, then we already have them as email or something.
Right, but they can send them to you to remind you or forward you the original transmission. Okay, so is there any objection? Hearing none, that's adopted, and I'd like to move the agenda as we are at time. Okay, the committee process for addressing issues. We have 10 minutes to discuss this, and I'd like to introduce it. I looked through Roberts and found the mechanism of informal consideration and another page that they have on pages 523 to 525. They talk about informal consideration and other aids to crystallizing opinion. The point being that because Roberts is a to a degree, parliamentary process, not Roberts per se, but parliamentary process can be adversarial. And because of all of the overhead on doing things in the right way to getting language, and because of the time that takes, I wanted to suggest that we consider these various intertwined motions and issues in informal consideration, have a discussion, try and get something that, to the degree possible, incorporates our various interests rather than settling on a position first and then haggling over trying to adjust it that way. That we come to try and come to as much consensus as we can or clarity about our differences, and then come up together with the motion that we then want to consider, so we don't have to go through parliamentary process to adjust single words. As part of this whole process, I'm also suggesting that we have, whichever way the motion goes, whether the final motion is approved or it goes down, that there then be a, obviously there's a majority report, there's a presentation of the motion passed by the majority. I suggest that somebody be assigned the role of summarizing the arguments, and similarly that a minority report be given summarizing those arguments, and that those be transmitted to the PNB at least 3 days in advance of a meeting so everybody can have read the arguments, and so that we're not at the mercy of who happens to show up at a given meeting or even at the mercy of the particular distribution on the committee in terms of getting all the sentiments reliably expressed and on the record. So that is my suggestion. I'd like to hear what people think of taking that approach.
This is Lydia, and I wholeheartedly support it.
Anybody else?
Sandra from Houston agrees.
Is there anybody who would like to argue against it or modify it?
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Basically, Roberts is largely about protecting the rights of a minority. And so that's in Roberts. And I don't know that we're doing the PNB a great service by having them say, please deal with this issue, and then we hand them two plates of spaghetti back, saying, well, here's this, but on the other hand, that. So I don't know. I don't know that that's necessarily going to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be figuring things out. I mean, minority and majority report, that's okay, but at some point we have to make decisions and hand them off to the PNB.
Well, if I may, the Roberts does provide a section discussing minority reports and their submission, and what we will be giving the PNB is a motion that was passed by the committee, and that will be essentially the majority position of the committee. In addition, we will have an explication of it, which would, you know, can be in the form of a series of whereases, but rather than having to make that now by assigning somebody the job of explaining it, it just comes to the same thing as the preamble on a typical motion. The minority report is also an accepted thing, but the goal of this is to not use the parliamentary process to hammer out details of language, because you get stuck on the position of whoever put the first motion forward, rather than having a discussion that lets you negotiate different points of interest so that the final thing actually reflects what people want to do. So the essence of this is how do we do the best job of coming to consensus, and then how do we ensure that both of the opinions expressed make it to the body that's ultimately responsible for either adopting or rejecting the recommendation of the committee.
This is Lydia. The other advantage to this...
Lydia, hang on. There was someone else who started to say...
Grace Aaron.
Grace hasn't spoken yet. Would you mind deferring to her?
Not at all.
Okay, go ahead, and then Lydia.
Okay, I'd like to speak against this. Having been in the governance committee last year, we didn't have any trouble coming to consensus using Robert's Rules of Order. I think that as the governance committee, we shouldn't be adding arbitraries to our process. I think that we can work just fine the way we've been doing, and I don't think that this is necessary. I think it just adds more complexity and an arbitrary to the process.
Hey, Lydia?
Okay, and I'm responding to the previous comment about whether we would be just handing two plates of spaghetti to the PMB. In fact, if you present a majority-minority report, it then says to the body, okay, we've already looked at that other side, and this is how we've looked at it. And it prevents 10 other people from starting from scratch to counter whatever was recommended. I mean, you're not going to escape the two positions in the general body just because you make a recommendation from the committee. But if you present both, it really saves time and effort. And I know if I've already heard an argument that I was thinking about making, I don't have to make a comment. There's a baby online.
I'm sorry, it's my grandson. Mommy walked out of the room and he started to cry, so I picked him up.
Okay, it's not so far different from some of the debate. Anyhow, no disrespect meant to anybody here.
Sorry, Mommy's back now. I'm handing him off.
Okay, any further discussion?
Oh, there's just Deb Shafto. One more thing I'd like to add.
Go ahead, Deb.
When you have simply a report going in, and it isn't unanimous, which it often isn't, the arguments get much more vociferous when people feel they're not going to be heard or their point of view isn't going to be considered. And when you put a minority report in, it sort of alleviates that tension. And I am really very much in favor of putting the minority report in, which is according to Roberts, you're not suspending anything, and having them written afterwards.
Can I have actually ask a question?
Yeah, sure. And
are there two parts to this
suggestion or just one part?
Two. The two parts are informal. We use informal consideration to discuss these issues prior to the consideration of a formal motion. And the second is that we have people appointed to write majority and minority reports to summarize the majority and minority positions.
Okay. Per Robert's Rules of Order, does everything have to be in motion form before it's considered?
Yes. You, in Roberts, what you do is you propose a motion, then there's a second, then you have discussion. During that discussion, there can be up to two amendments and not more until you dispense with those amendments. So what
happens? Point of order.
Yes. Go ahead. Point of order.
The point of order is I don't think that's true of committees. It's true of the body itself, but not of committees.
Excuse me. I don't know that that's a point of order. A point of order would be if I was out of speaking out of turn or doing something. But anyhow.
Put me in the stack somewhere.
Okay.
And Bob, too, please.
All right. Mary, go ahead. Mary or Paul, Bob. Was that Mary who was speaking?
That was Deb.
Oh, Deb. Deb or Paul and
Davey
Bob.
Leroy in the background.
Is that Leroy?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. Deb?
That was me speaking before.
Okay,
our
Paul?
Oh, okay. One, you say, well, we'll negotiate it out, and, you know, that the devil's in the details there. How exactly do we negotiate that out? It seems to me that's precisely what Roberts is about for the method of figuring out how to do that in an orderly way. The other part is that we already have a mechanism for this. We, in a committee, we can discuss things without the motion having to be up there. We say, well, what about this? What about that? And we can discuss things before a motion happens. And there was one other thing which I am just forgotten. But basically, the thing is, we already have the ability to do this. We can operate without a motion. We can discuss things back and forth, and then we can, you know, coalesce everything into a motion and have at it one way or another. The other part of it is, again, details. If we say, well, we're going to do it this way, and then we have, after the fact, we have someone or someones doing a majority and minority report, who does that? How does that get hashed out? I think we could have, not saying necessarily will, but we certainly could leave ourselves open to having a situation where we have bigger fights over who's going to write the minority and majority reports and what exactly they're saying than we would have had if we just had an ordinary motion.
Okay. I'd like to respond to that, if I may, Bob. Quick, may I? Do you mind? First of all, the difference between informal consideration and the normal committee process is that if you're discussing something without a motion on the floor, a motion is in order at any time. And once the motion's been made, then you're following that process. With respect to the minority report on page 511 of Roberts, it says, a minority report in writing may begin, the undersigned, a minority of the committee appointed to, not agreeing with the majority, desire to express their views in this case. So the way it can be done is somebody would be asked to draft it, and those members of the committee who would like to sign on to it would sign on as the undersigned, and it, as far as I understand, is not a formal action of the committee, and so that would be an acceptable way to do things. With respect to the majority report, that it's the same thing as when the chair gives a report to the board. That is not voted on by the committee, but the whoever's chair does send the report to the committee so that they can be aware of the way the views are represented. So I don't see any reason why we could not ask somebody to draft a brief statement outlining the majority opinion, and they could do that as, you know, a representative of the majority who was asked to do it, and no more. And people during debate of the motion at the PNB can bring in other ideas if they wish to clarify things, but it at least gives a starting point so that the board can have looked at those issues in advance of the meeting and comes in already understanding what the committee has done. Bob.
Yeah, I'm pretty much agreeing with Dave's approach here, and from my reading of Roberts, this is totally legitimate, this kind of approach, that there can be what you could call a majority report. It's actually, technically, it's the committee's report. And I found a sense here. If a committee is appointed from different sections of the country, the expectation that its work will be done by correspondence, its report can contain only what is agreed to by a majority of its members. And then, of course, the minority report is even looser because that's not an official report, but it is one that's, you know, that's presented to the larger body. So I think that's a fine approach. And I guess my only question to Dave is at what point do we – I agree we should start with informal discussion without any motions on the table, but how do we trigger the process to start moving into motions?
I think that we time bind it.
Okay.
And we grant ourselves, so the idea would be we go as far as we can during that discussion and say that we're going to leave, because we still, the parliamentary process does take time, so we should have a minimum of 15 minutes for each item that we're actually going to, you know, hold a vote on, so that we can have amendments, substitutes, moves, motions to table, and all the rest of it, and still do it in time. So in the case of this agenda, I'd be suggesting that we have the informal consideration for an hour and then 15 minutes for each, for item 3 and 4.
15 minutes for suspension question and 15 minutes for the code of conduct?
Yes. So basically, we'd have an hour where we would be developing the motions. If you don't want to do that, we can reduce that amount of time to, you know, 40 minutes for the discussion, followed by 20 minutes each or 25 minutes each.
I think that something like that is a little more realistic because, you know, even with the prior discussion, the motion crafting and amendments is going to take up a bunch of time. And I also am a little concerned that we not overly mix up the two issues, because while they're certainly related and people's general philosophies may overlap, the solutions to whatever we want to do about this current suspension versus a going forward policy could be quite different.
Right. I agree. And actually, there's a difference even between a suspension, a policy on suspensions versus the code of conduct that might, you know, violations of which might trigger some of those procedures. And I do want to clarify, we were asked to deal with the suspension issue at this meeting. The code of conduct thing, we might not even get to if we're not ready to get to it, in my opinion. But we are at time for this agenda item. So I guess what I'd like is a vote on whether we to accept informal consideration and let us time bind it at 40 minutes from now. So would somebody be willing to move that we go into informal consideration for 40 minutes?
This is for both of the topics or just the first one?
It's informal consideration, so people can raise issues as they see fit. But I think we need to be focused on the suspension issue, because that's what we were asked to
produce. We can't restrict it to the suspension issue?
I don't see any way to restrict it, because you get into code of conduct issues. And we're,
like,
informal consideration means people can talk about what they would like to talk about.
I would like to move that we consider the topics informally.
Who's this?
This is Jane. I would like to move that we consider the items informally for 45 minutes.
I second the motion.
Is there a rejection?
I'd like to amend it. This is Sandra in Houston. A friendly amendment that instead of 45 minutes, we make it 30.
I'll second that. This is Lydia.
Who just made that?
Sandra from KPFT Houston.
Okay. I would accept that. Jane.
Can I make it 30 minutes?
I actually would oppose that. So I think we need to vote that, the amendment.
We call the question then?
Please, let's do.
Committee.
Okay, first the amendment. The amendment to make
Hold on. Let me read what I have. The main motion is that we go to informal consideration of items 3 and 4 of the agenda for 40 minutes.
45 was your proposal.
45?
Yes.
So then it is that we go to informal consideration of items 3 and 4 of the agenda for 45 minutes. Is that the...
Yes. And the amendment was
the
that
amendment
it be 30.
The amendment is to make it 30 minutes.
Right. So let us have the vote on the...
Well, okay. Does anybody... You might want to ask if anybody wants to discuss it more.
No.
Would anybody like to discuss it more?
No.
Okay. Can you call the roll for the amendment, or Paul?
Okay, the amendment is to make it 30 minutes, and... Okay. Grace Aaron.
Yes.
Dave Edelson.
No.
Mary Berg. Max Blaché, not here. Lydia Brazaw.
Yes.
Marty Derlin.
Star 6, Marty.
Marty Derlin. I'm moving on. Jane Gatewood.
Yes.
Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Mike Martin. R. Paul Martin. Yes. Sarv Randhawa. Sandra Rolline.
Yes.
Doreen Roberts.
Yes.
Rob Robinson.
Yes.
Deb Shafto.
Yes.
Kim Takash, not here. Okay.
Okay, so that passes.
9-1.
Okay, is there any objection to adopting the motion to go into informal consideration for half an hour?
Nope.
Hearing none, okay, we'll do that for the next half hour. Okay, who would like to speak?
This is Jane, I'd like to be...
Go ahead, Jane. Hey, well, let me get a list first. Jane.
We're going to put a time limit on discussion?
We just did, half an hour.
No, for individual.
Individual?
Can people ramble on for 17 minutes?
It's informal.
Not that Jane would, of course, but...
Why don't we agree that people will hold to less than, let us say, 2 minutes?
Also, I noticed in the Robert's Rules of Orders that a person shouldn't speak twice before everybody that's had a chance to speak does.
And one of the things about informal consideration is we're not bound by... that, but I will try to recognize people who haven't spoke ahead of those who have.
Dave, on the two-minute limit, I would ask that it be three, especially when we're in informal consideration, so people can develop their ideas a little bit.
Okay. Is there any objection to people holding the three? Would somebody be willing to time people?
Yeah,
just
I'll
say
do
three
it,
minutes?
I'll
All
do
right.
it, Dave.
Rob will play timekeeper, sergeant-at-arms. Okay, so Jane is on the stack. Who else would like to speak? Don't all yell out at once. Okay, we'll start with Jane, and I'm sure she'll trigger other people. Go ahead, Jane.
I want to first take the opportunity to read a statement from my fellow WPFW LSB member who was not able to come. Hakam Takash sent a written comment. He says, I'm sorry, folks, I cannot make tonight's meeting. I had something scheduled since last week. But if I had been present, I would have voted to uphold WBAI's suspension because I think that it was a local issue that this committee should have not been discussing in the first place. And God knows that WPFW has enough trouble on its local station board that if we were to bring these issues to the national, they would take up entire national board meetings. Therefore, I do not think that this committee should set a precedent in getting involved in local station issues, because if we do, then every LSB would want a national ruling on something or other. I just wanted that to go into the record, the public record. And for myself, I would like to say that I believe it's important for us to recognize the actions that the individual LSBs make. In this case, there were good faith efforts to do the right thing in New York, and at this point I believe that we really need to recognize the individual LSB's autonomy in certain matters. Now, from this point forward, if we can clarify some of these matters, use this as a learning tool for developing a policy that that's a little more clear-cut, a little more supported by all parties, that would be great. But I think it would be inappropriate to overturn the actions of an individual LSP.
1 minute remaining.
That's it.
Okay, I'd like to respond. Would anybody else?
Deb Shafto, yes.
Why don't you go first, Deb?
Well, I can understand and sympathize with the problem with the LSB. We've certainly had our own. I'm sure every station has had them. But I think that we need to follow a process that is laid down. I do not believe that was followed. And I think that it would be appropriate to have this, in this particular case, have a reinstatement and a reissue of the or retrial or reprocess so that it falls in line with the accepted guidelines.
Okay, I'll take a whack. The reason we're considering it is the question, it's not a question of a local autonomy issue, it's if you've done something that violates the bylaws, or then it is the responsibility of the PMB to look at it. I agree that I don't personally want to spend PMB meetings, as a court of appeal on local decisions. I also agree that really the issue is getting a good policy that in the future prevents, makes it clear to everybody what the expectations are. I spend a lot of time listening to the tape. I listen to a lot of the arguments. I read Robert's Rules and all the rest. And as near as I can figure, given the ambiguities involved, an argument can be made that the committee was within its rights. That the LSB was. Now, as a member has emailed us and pointed out that committees under Roberts are not permitted to discipline their members. But LSBs are funny kinds of committees because, in general, a committee is not authorized to take action. But these LSBs, these committees, are authorized to take specific action. Now, you could argue, well, that's just a delegation of a certain set of authorities. And certainly the delegates have rights of removal. Actually, the LSBs have rights of removal as well. So I don't know. That's a tough argument. I understand just as a practical matter that an attempt to overrule that LSB based on this incident in which the behavior was clearly egregious and not just limited to a single meeting would get a lot of people upset, and a lot would go on as a result for the rest of the year on
one
this
minute.
Point. I have 1 minute remaining?
Yep.
My understanding was from Mark Roberts that he had discussed with their chair a voluntary agreement by that LSB to limit the duration of the suspension to, I think it was something like 3 months. And ultimately, my preference would be to do it by agreement. I think what we really do need is a policy of suspension. And the one thing I will say that I do think was wrong about this was that the member was not notified that he would face suspension. And there was Roberts does call for a couple of steps of attempting to bring a person to order. This motion was prepared ahead of the meeting at which it was proposed. But anyhow, so my preference would be by common consent with that LSB, reduce the duration of this suspension, and for our committee to propose a progressive discipline for suspensions in the future so that somebody can't just haul off and remove somebody for very long periods of time.
I'd like to say something.
Okay, R. Paul, anybody else?
Bob Lederer.
Bob, anybody else? Okay, we'll go with that and then take the next names. Go ahead, Rob Paul.
All right. Yes, I already made the motion last time, which is unfinished business for the committee, that we do something about this. I think that what was done in New York was extremely unfair and violated a lot of rules, Roberts' rules and some other things as well. But simply looking at Roberts, as has already been mentioned, if somebody does something at a meeting, You can do something about that, but after the meeting, that's it. In New York, we had a prepared motion, as has been pointed out. Nobody outside of the faction currently in charge was notified of this. Apparently, some emails were sent out to get people to come to the meeting, to people who weren't members of the LSB to come to the meeting and cheer on this particular motion. But the person who was being the subject of the suspension motion wasn't given any notification whatsoever. The rest of the LSB wasn't given any notification whatsoever. Furthermore, for Roberts, if you do something during a meeting, you can have something done to you at that meeting. But the general reading of Roberts is that if you, whatever you do at that meeting, after that meeting, it's over. And I think part of what's happening here is that the LSB is being used as an instrument of revenge on somebody. I think it's very bad, and I think also, to address the PNB part of it, the PNB is supposed to deal with things relating to the LSBs if there is a dispute and if there is a problem, because the PNB has to understand that lawsuits can come out of this. There was the due process of the member was grossly violated, and I think if it went before a judge, any judge looking at this would say, geez, you know, the guy was reacting to a chair that was out of order.
1 minute.
The guy was, complaining about that, and yeah, he didn't act properly, but 6 months, especially given the other behavior of other people at some of these meetings. Other people have had to be physically restrained by security guards, and this member who was suspended actually got assaulted by another member at one meeting. So, I think, yes, it has to be something that PNB deals with. Otherwise, maybe in this case, maybe in another case, Pacifica is going to get sued and it's going to lose. So it's a Pacifica issue, and Pacifica, by the bylaws, is allowed to deal with appeals of things that happen at the local level.
Bob, I assume you're just going to agree with that. Is that right?
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. First of all, the conduct we're talking about was not mere disruption or kind of obnoxious statements. We're talking about extreme, abusive, and discriminatory conduct that singled out three African-American men for insults and abuse, and a woman who was chair using hateful language to her, the F word, five times in a row, and language, Nazi language that gave extreme anguish to those of us who are Jews on the board, Holocaust references to describe conduct of other board members. So that's the first thing. In terms of Pacifica's mission, the conduct was absolutely reprehensible and had to be severely sanctioned. As far as the due process, there were warnings repeatedly. This occurred over the course of three meetings, and indeed, at the very meeting it was brought up for action, there was even more egregious conduct and further abuse. So there were warnings by the chair. There were repeated appeals to come to order, to be civil, and all of that was ignored. And finally, on the night of the final conduct that triggered this, it was so severe with the FU statements that the chair said later that she felt beaten around the head and was not having the presence of mind at that moment to say, we have to move to discipline this minute, this night. It was after she had fitful sleep for several days, and other women on the board as well. They said, you know what, we can't accept this. At the beginning of the next meeting, we have to do something about this. Robert's Rules does not require advance notice. Indeed, it allows
2 minutes.
Okay, it allows people, members who are disruptive or out of order, to be sanctioned right on the spot with no notice whatsoever. So the notice issue is irrelevant. As far as the role of the PNB to look at this, this is really a case where only if there's an absolutely clear case of a violation of the bylaws can the PNB override this decision, not simply if their judgment is that, well, if we were there, we might have had a different penalty or whatever. That is not an appropriate use of the override section, which is clearly reserved for extreme cases of, grossly out of control LSBs. So I think it would be a serious error to intervene, even though I agree with the sentiment others have expressed that going forward we can learn lessons from this about how to have procedures that are clear and that, you know, have certain limits as to what can be done, you know, when there are future cases.
1 minute.
1 minute left?
Yes.
Okay, but I do think that a clear message needs to be sent that the racist, sexist, and anti-Semitic conduct by board members is absolutely intolerable, and that local boards need to have the ability to move strongly to prevent their other members' rights from being violated and their free speech right to speak without intimidation. And I would also add there was a physical element of pacing in a menacing way up and down the corridors of the meeting, and on the final day when it was being considered, that this was in a very aggressive way, and at that point the chair actually did have the specific abusive language challenging one of the black men's credentials as an attorney, that was put into the minutes. So every procedure was followed by Robert's rules, and this really should not be reversed, and we should just learn lessons about crafting new procedures that apply in the future.
This is Lydia. Can you add me to the stack?
Yeah, and I would like to speak to that, but if anybody else who hasn't spoke wants to speak before me, I'll defer.
I'd like to speak after Lydia.
Okay, Rob, anyone else? Okay, and then I will take a whack. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so we also have to be clear that lawsuits go both ways. If that language indeed was used, then there could be lawsuits going the other way as well. So liability is if we don't take action against people who invite liability as board members, then we would be remiss if we don't take that action or significant action in this case, perhaps. Although I personally think it was excessive. I think 6 months was definitely too long. But I also do not believe it's useful to make a recommendation of retroactively correcting that, except for the fact that Dave has mentioned if there could be a mutual agreement that the term could be shortened, then I think it's in the interest of the health of the foundation and of Pacifica as a whole to pursue that path, and that I think that should be part of our recommendation. But if that cannot be had, then I do not believe we should retroactively correct what I think was an excessive act, and that we should move forward in developing something for the future.
2 minutes.
Rob?
Oh, it's me?
Yeah. Lydia's to the point.
Okay. First of all, the bylaws very clearly stipulate that the LSBs can take removal action. And
Could
I think
you just
they
say
should.
Where?
Pardon me?
Could you, where do they, can you cite that?
Not off the top of my head, but the action for removal of members, are you contesting that, David?
No, I just want to know what you're referring to. Is that that's what you're referring to, the removal of members thing?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
The point is that the bylaws do delegate disciplinary authority to the local station boards. And my concern is that throughout the period since the takeover, the local station boards and the PNB have had difficulty dealing with disruptions and violent and behavior and hate speech by members. So I think that this is something that we really, really need to deal with. And I think that it is clearly not the responsibility of the Pacifica National Board to deal with intervening in local station board issues. And I, therefore, you know, would suggest that since there is, as I see it, no violation of the bylaws, the bylaws do delegate authority to the local station boards, and because we have a problem in Pacifica dealing with our fiduciaries and dealing with governance in general, that this should be sustained. That's it.
Okay. I'd like to say, but when Bob says Roberts was followed, if you go to page 626 in Roberts under disciplinary procedures, which is the section that they invoked, it speaks to calling a member to order twice, naming an offender, and then at that point the chair asks the body what penalty shall be meted out. And that wasn't done. So at least I disagree with the argument that according to P's and Q's, everything was followed. I don't think that's the case. There's the more, but again, we can get.
Dave, can I ask you something for
clarity? Please do. Yes.
I don't have the book. I'm looking at it online. What is the article and section that was in?
Chapter. It's under. It's chapter 10, 20 in this book. It's disciplinary procedures, and it's under 61. Where it, I don't. I guess it's section 61. And it's about three pages in. The general title is disciplinary procedures. The next section is offenses occurring in a meeting. And I also disagree with a little bit with what R. Paul said about, you know, what happens in a meeting once the meeting's over, that's over. I read this section on this issue of a hearing because people were saying, well, Roberts requires a hearing and all the rest of it if it happened outside of a meeting. And the sentiment there is if the assembly itself was not witness to it, but conduct is alleged, then they have to go through this process. So all of the behavior that happened in that meeting and the prior two meetings had been observed by the assembly. But strictly speaking, what happened in that meeting was a motion had been prepared and it was brought, and then the member reacted to that. But at no point was the process contemplated here followed, where the member had an outburst and was asked to be brought to order. The member had another outburst and was asked to be brought to order, and then a motion was brought forward. Now, again, you can make the argument, look, we didn't know what was in Roberts, and we've been subjected to this whole thing in the prior meeting, blah, blah, blah. I personally agree with Lydia. For the health, I think it was unduly long.
2 minutes.
I think that for the health of the foundation to be able to get on with things and not get impaled on this, you know, states' rights versus federal rights argument, that what we should do is respect what the local board did in the presence of what had been abusive behavior, and I don't care how anybody else was behaving, and in the presence or in the absence of clear policies. I think we would be remiss if we don't come up with clear procedures on suspension that limit this kind of thing, because frankly, Roberts allows, after two such requests to discipline somebody, the ability to, yes, suspend them for a time. So we could be doing this all the time to people. And I do not want to allow, and this is what I wanted informal discussion for, I don't want to allow local board majorities to start doing things that I would consider abusive to the rights of minorities. And we do know that people
1 minute.
Do things. 1 minute left.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that people do things at Pacifica meetings. The whole Pacifica campaign approach really uncorked that bottle as a result of abuses that had gone consistently unrectified or unresponded to by the prior board majority. But I don't want to see us get, and this goes to the code of conduct thing, I don't want to get us into this point of sort of, you know, you've got a sword hanging over you in a misstep or something like that. Particularly when we have, you know, members who are going to be angry and critical at times. So I think we need some policies that distinguish between angry and critical and abusive. And we need a progressive discipline so that, you know, if you cross that line, you're gone for a couple of meetings, and you understand that after that, the next time you're gone for a substantial period of time. Anyhow, I would like for the rest of it to just agree with the sentiments that Lydia put forward, and I hope that's the approach we take.